Hello and welcome back to Calling Monster Island, where everything here is awesome, righteous, bossa nova, huh? Casanova? No. Excellent. And if you couldn't tell by that intro, we are covering the original three Ninja Turtles movies from the 90s, which are very close to me, very nostalgic for the first two movies, and the third one exists. Sorry about this fan here. If you can hear this, I'm very hot, so that's why I haven't turned it off. I might turn it off later we get in, but yeah, so this is a bit of a weird episode. Kind of right now, what I'm just doing is just finding movies that I've been wanting to watch for a while, or in this case, rewatch, and making content out of them. I know that this is a giant monster podcast, and we usually only talk about tokusatsu, but I thought since we did the Mario movie in April, I'd do something a little bit kind of goofy here with this one. So, without further ado, we got a bit of news. Just a bit. One thing, pretty big. The other thing, not super, big. Okay, so first thing, which I'm saving the big, big news, for the end. So first thing, 3Y Studios, which I believe is the same company that made Howl from Beyond the Fog. Has recently put together a trailer. Yes, a trailer for one of their upcoming monster movies. This is a crowdfunded movie. It's called Hoshi 35, Hoshi 35. It looks interesting. It looks like it's going to be a little bit less giant monster focused, a little more boots on the ground type thing. Looks very interesting. I'm very interested in this. Also, it's coming from 3Y, so we can expect at least amazing puppeteer work on this. If not anything else, then pretty great puppeteer work. So recently, a couple of comics were announced. There is a Godzilla Best of Mecha Godzilla issue, one of those best of collection compilation issues coming out in September. Godzilla Rivals versus Space Godzilla, which is being written and illustrated by Matt Frank, is going to be released on August 30th. There will be a trade paperback for Godzilla and Protectors All Hail the King, which is set for August 23rd. And a really interesting thing, a new Godzilla, two new Godzilla comics were announced. Godzilla, Here There Be Dragons, which looks kind of like a adventure on the seven seas with Godzilla, so like Godzilla and pirates, right up my alley. Looks awesome. Lots of lots of cool comic stuff. There was another comic called Godzilla War for Humanity, which is set to come out on August 16th. What else we got? These are two big ones that I wanted to go over. Michael Lerner, who, if you've listened to my, Godzilla 98 episode, was Mayor Ebert, has unfortunately, passed away at the age of 81 on April 8th. It's been a while since I've recorded, so this is a bit old, April 8th, as you can tell. Which I actually want to get to that in a minute, but, anyways, my heart goes out to Michael Lerner's family, friends, and everyone who was affected by his death in any way. It is very tragic that he died, even though I did not really love his character in Godzilla 98, he was still a human being and a good guy at that, so, you know, prayers to them, prayers to his family. Another death in the tokusatsu community. Yukiko, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. Yukiko Takayama, who was the screenwriter and director of Terror of Mechagodzilla, one of my favorite Godzilla movies. She also wrote the unofficial sequel fan manga, or no, she did not. I thought she did. She passed away, unfortunately, which really, really sad. Here too, because I mean, you know, a great name in tokusatsu, screenwriter and director, and just a great person in general. I feel like a lot of this stuff gets overshadowed because they were in tokusatsu. It's great that they were in tokusatsu, but also they were people just like anyone else. And my heart goes out to her family, her friends, anyone who's affected by her death. Send prayers. Send prayers. Send a spirit bomb. You know? Okay. So now, news is not over. Okay. But, this next one needs a little bit of context, behind it. So, in early April, things were going pretty good for me. You know, things were settling down, life was starting to feel normal again, and, I mean, April, the Mario movie came out. So this is a very, very, fun and cool time, for me personally. You know, very fun all around. When I heard this, I didn't want to cover it so soon. And the reason I didn't want to cover it so soon is because I realized that I needed some time to think about how I was going to address this. And what I am, of course, talking about is the incredibly unfortunate passing of Jiro Dan, aka the actor who played Hideki Go, and who was also My mind just went blank, like totally blank. Oh, he was Beisuke Jinjuri in Godzilla Island. And if you might know, for the month of April, I was planning a Godzilla Island video, at least for the first story arc, first, I think, about 10-ish episodes of Godzilla Island. And I got pretty far in, that show, the episodes are very short, so it's fairly easy to just blast through those episodes. But since he was one of the primary characters in the show, and I had watched so much of the show in preparation for this episode, his death, which I learned about while watching an episode of Godzilla Island, actually, it just hit me, like, full on. And I just needed a while to cope, if you will. I'm not fairly nostalgic for Return of Ultraman, which is, of course, what Hideki Go is from, and what Jiro Dan was a major part of. I'm not particularly nostalgic for the show, but I am incredibly nostalgic for Godzilla Island. So his passing, and also really recently at that point, I had bought the Return of Ultraman steelbook from Mill Creek, and I had been watching a ton of Return of Ultraman, just kind of, you know, by myself as like a cool way to unwind, you know. And it just all hit, you know. And I don't want to feel like I'm giving more praise to Jiro Dan. Like, obviously he was a phenomenal actor, great dude, very active in the community, you know. But I don't want to overshadow the other two great, amazing people that just died. Yukiko Takayama and Michael Lerner. I don't want to overshadow them. That was never the intention. But I do need you to kind of just cut me some slack personally for why I haven't been uploading as recently. Or as often. And that was really why. Is just that personally hit me like really hard. And I needed a bit. Because I felt like I had known this guy for so long. Even though I didn't know him. I knew a character that he played on a silly kid show. I didn't know him. But I had known his character of Beisuke Jinjuri since I was maybe 7 or 8. And it felt like just an old friend had passed away, you know? And I needed a bit. And so I'm sorry that this is late. And then I'm so sorry that you guys had to wait this long for a new episode. And I'm sorry that this intro has been going on for probably longer than most of this episode will be. You know how I am. I'm bad with intros. My heart goes out to Jiro Dan's family, his friends, and anyone who may or may not have been affected. No, anyone who was affected by his death. Because I was, and I know multiple other people in the Toku community were as well. So, obviously we didn't have a connection to Girodan as people in his family did. So I am so very sorry to you, to all of you, to Yukiko Takayama's family, to Michael Lerner's family, to Girodan's family, to anyone who has passed away ever. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry you had to go through that. Because it's hard and it sucks. But it will get better. Okay. So now, with that out of the way, I'd like to bring up the two last pieces of news. Sorry that went on longer than I expected. Legendary Pictures has released their first teaser trailer and poster for the Skull Island anime, which was announced literally like 3 years ago. It's coming out in 2 days as of this recording. There will be an episode on that sometime. Again, don't hold me to it. When I hold myself to episodes, I end up not making them. It will come out. I'm going to binge this probably in a day. Also, there's a Nintendo Direct tomorrow, in case anyone who likes Nintendo stuff wanted to know that. I am a Nintendo fan, and I will be watching it. So. And, of course, the last final big announcement. The next MonsterVerse film has been officially teased by Legendary. April 19th, just some random day, Legendary Pictures goes, okay, we're gonna release a teaser for Godzilla X Kong, or as it was known for a while by fans, Godzilla and Kong, and we're just gonna drop it on YouTube, drop it on our Twitter, drop it everywhere we have a social, and see what happens. And the internet exploded. And Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire is the new title of the fifth MonsterVerse film. Very cool. Very excited. I'm not going to go over the trailer, because if you haven't seen the teaser trailer, you seriously either don't care about Tokusatsu that much, or Godzilla that much, or you have been living under a genuine rock. That was the news. It went 18 minutes longer than I thought it was gonna be. With that, we're just going to take a little break. We're going to go right into talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the movie, and its subsequent sequels. I'll see you in... Well, for you, it'll be like 2 seconds. For me, it'll be like 5 minutes. Peace. Radical Notion, dudes! Welcome back to Calling Monster Island, or calling the New York sewers for this one, because we're talking about Ninja Turtles. If you don't know what Ninja Turtles are, you probably have just been born. Ninja Turtles are, of course, the groundbreaking global phenomenon that every six-year-old and his great-grandfather or great-grandmother has heard of, without a doubt. They are, of course, four teens with somewhat attitude who were actually not teens. They were turtles who were mutated by this mystery ooze, and as they grew, became ninjas after being trained by their master and surrogate father, Splinter the Rat. And yes, you heard that right, Splinter the Rat. But all of you probably already know this, but not everyone has seen the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, because for some reason, nowadays, they get a fairly bad reputation for some reason. The Rotten Tomatoes score for this movie is 40%, and the audience score is double that. I don't even understand. Like, this is a Mario movie thing, but okay. This movie, at its time, was well received by critics because there was absolutely nothing like it. But of course, you know, moms everywhere threw a fit because it was too violent for their little six-year-old. Hey, lady, it's PG in the 90s. What are you expecting? Anyways, with the success of the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, it spawned two lesser sequels that we will also be looking at in this video. But the main focus is about the first movie and how good it is. So, without further ado, let's get to talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. So we open on a scene of crooks who are not good at stealing things, who see a news report about April O'Neil, an up-and-coming reporter who is trying to bust an entire gang of crooks, I guess. I don't really see what she's gonna do by being on the news. So later that night, when she's leaving her office, these crooks decide to murk her in an alleyway. This is New York, not New Jersey. Anyways, the lights go out, and we hear, lights come back on. All the criminals are tied up. Huh? That can't be possible. They were all trying to murk this innocent woman. And now they are tied up. Then we hear some of the legit greatest film score sound, like, movie soundtrack of all time. And we see a shadow lurking around the corner of the New York sewers. Why, who could that be? Is it a bird? A plane? An egg salad sandwich? Why, no! It's the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, as the title card obviously says. Anyways, after this little meeting with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which I referenced in the opening, we learned that Raph, yes, Raphael, lost a sigh up above when he was beating up one of the crooks. This causes him to be very mad, and he storms out while Splinter is trying to meditate with his sons. Splinter is, of course, their surrogate father. He is also a giant rat, and his animatronic gets worse and worse as we go on. But we'll get to that later. Anyways, we see Raph going to a movie, as he obviously said, and Mikey ordering a pizza. Raph walks out of the movie, which then reveals it's Critters? The 1988 Kyoto Brothers classic Critters? And we soon learn Raph does not have good taste in horror movies, as he walks out saying, "Where do people come up with this stuff? That sucked." So then he goes to Central Park to, I don't know, do something. I think he sees some crooks, and so he runs over there. But then we meet the best character in this movie, Casey Jones. If you don't know, Casey Jones is a vigilante, kind of like Arrow in the CW show, but if it wasn't made by CW and didn't suck. Anyways, Casey's catchphrase for this movie is, "I'm gonna bash some skulls." So, of course, he says, "I'm gonna bash some skulls," before taking out a cricket racket and beating on some crooks. Raph sees him in the park, and he's like, "Hey, dude, I'm the only vigilante here. Get out." And then Casey whacks him in the face and lands him smack dab in a trash can. Welp, Raphael, you suck. Get a better job. Or stick to your day job? I don't know. Raph gets really mad that he yells so loud that I think all of New Jersey heard him. And they're in New York, so that's saying something. Also, I forgot to mention, the turtles, while they were in the lair at near the beginning of the movie, before the park sequence, were listening to Tequila, which is one of my favorite songs of all time because of its recognizable tune, and it's just amazing saxophone solo. It's awesome. Anyways, little bit of the movie goes on for a while. They meet April, and she's pretty chill with it. Like, she faints, and she's like, she thinks she's dreaming. She saw a rat in the subway, and so she says, "Oh, I saw a rat in the subway. That's why Splinter exists. My subconscious is just making all this up." Which actually, like, surprisingly sane way of going about this. Like, you just met four giant mutant turtles and a big rat, and you're just thinking, "I'm dreaming, my subconscious is making this up," or "I'm insane." But then after they explain to her their origin story, and Splinter gives his backstory of how he came to be, she kind of believes them, and she settles down a bit. The origin story of Splinter, in case you are wondering, differs from the cartoon, which, in the cartoon, Hamato Yoshi was a ninja warrior from Japan who came to New York after facing his enemy, his nemesis, Oroku Saki, and wandered his way into the New York sewers, where he then got mutated by a mysterious ooze into a giant walking, talking rat. In this movie, Splinter was the pet rat of Oroku Saki, not Oroku Saki, Hamato Yoshi, who had a girlfriend, and Oroku Saki, his nemesis, was very jealous of this girlfriend. So you know what he did? He killed her, and then he tried to kill Hamato Yoshi. And he did. Pretty successfully, actually. And in the process of doing this, knocks over Splinter's cage. Splinter pulls a Guardians of the Galaxy 3, sorry, spoilers if you haven't seen the movie, and scratches the frick out of Oroku Saki's face, leaving scars all over the place. And it's so cool. Also, this little rat miniature that they had, I'm not sure if it was a puppet or an animatronic. Looks a bit too fluent to be an animatronic, but also doesn't look like a puppet either. I'm not sure what it was, but it's very cool. Splinter says to April they don't know where Oroku Saki went or where he is now, but time will tell. We get some more character stuff. They're hanging out a bit. And, we go to a scene in the base of all these crooks that we've been seeing for this entire movie. And basically, all these crooks hang out in this totally awesome looking, like, 90s arcade skate park area, and it's so cool. I want to live there. There's this really funny line where there's a little, like, I'd say, like, 9 or 10 year old walking in, and he accidentally bumps into Tatsu, who is one of the main commanders of the Foot Clan. And Tatsu kind of, like, glares at him, and then he goes, "Go play." And he just points at, like, the arcade machines, and it's hilarious. Anyways, this is where we find out who the Shredder is. And the Shredder is the leader of the Foot Clan, aka the guy who's been sending out all these crooks to steal things and to put it in this random warehouse for some reason. We actually learn that there's a really sinister thing behind this, that Shredder is getting kids who are, run away from home, or don't feel loved, or are mistreated, and he fuels their anger and their rage against the world so that they become criminals. And it's a very interesting backstory for the Foot Clan, actually, other than in the cartoon where they are just robots. I really like this approach to the Foot Clan, and it's really cool. After this, we get more of April and the Turtles hanging out. Mikey does a Cagney impression, and he goes, "You killed my brother, you dirty rat, you dirty rat, you killed my brother." And, it's pretty funny, actually. They, figure out that Splinter's been taken, Raph freaks out, and, they continue staying at April's place for a while until they find Splinter. Meanwhile, the Foot find out where April lives, and they literally ambush Raphael on the roof. Raphael is, he's hot-headed, so he tries to fight back, of course. And, like, 70 different Foot soldiers, like, just storm him. And then they end up sneaking into April's apartment and beating up the Turtles real bad. And, April lives above in an antique shop that her father owned, I think. And, they burn down not only her apartment, but the antique shop. And so there's this really cool fight scene inside, the antique shop, where there's fire all over the place. There's this, like, synth keyboard, like, score going. It's like, do 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 do. And it's so good. I know that when I tried to, like, hum it, kind of sounded like The Exorcist. Sorry. Whoops. It's a really solid action scene. Casey rushes over there because he sees the fire. And, he knows that at least Raphael, he knows Raphael. So he rushes over there, and, everyone hops in, I believe it's Casey's truck, and, they all go to a farmhouse out in the middle of the country, or a townhouse out in the middle of the country that, April, somebody she's related to owns it, and basically the Turtles rest there for a couple weeks, and it's this really nice long sequence that shows kind of this romantic tension between Casey and April, kind of a will they won't they kind of situation. It also shows the Turtles training and getting better, so that then prepares us for the
the final battle against the Shredder. But before that, one of my favorite lines in the whole movie happens. They go back to the base, and they find Danny, who is April's boss's son. There's not really a clear relationship there, but April kind of seems like a mom to this kid, just from what I personally got off of it. And when he first sees the turtles, all of the turtles aim their weapons at him, and he goes, "Don't shoot!" And Raph, after realizing it was just a teenager, goes, "I don't think it's loaded, kid." It is genuinely one of the most hilarious lines in the whole movie, and I cannot do it justice. But anyways, more foot soldiers invade the sewers. They beat him up. Then they go find the Shredder on a rooftop, and they have this awesome rooftop action scene. They're fighting, and the Shredder is beating all of the turtles up. Casey and Danny, which is the kid, had gone to the foot warehouse. They had rescued Splinter, and they came back. Splinter goes up to the roof, and he confronts Oroku Saki. And throughout this entire movie, Splinter had never said Shredder's name. So he says his name, and Shredder takes off his mask, and he's like, so he gets real mad, and he rushes at him, and Splinter, using a pair of nunchucks that Michelangelo had dropped off of the side of the building earlier, flips him around like he's about to drop him off the building. And there's this amazing speech that Splinter gives where he goes, I believe the exact lines were, "Oroku Saki, some things are worse than death. You will experience one of these things." And Shredder tries to, like, stab him with his spear. And he starts, like, dropping him. His Splinter starts dropping him down a little bit. And he goes, "You will die without honor." And he drops him. And he just goes flying down. And there's this awesome semi-slow motion scene of Shredder falling down the side of the building going, "Aah!" until he lands in the back of a garbage truck. And there's this giant thud, and you think he's dead. But just to confirm the kill, Casey pulls down on the trash compactor lever on the back of the trash truck, crushing the Shredder, never to be seen again until one movie later, Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, which, yeah, this one's pretty good too. But, we'll go over that in a second. First of all, let's give a little, breakdown, favorite, least favorite moments, impact, final thoughts, all that on the first movie. So, overall, I love this movie. I thought, Turtles 1, excellent movie. Excellent! I thought it was really fun, actually. I don't understand how the critic consensus on this is that this is a bad movie, and how this is only for, you know, little baby children. This is a really good adaptation of the comics, and it's really good. It's really good. If you dismiss this as just some kiddie film, give it a try. It's a really good time. It's not very long either. I think you'll enjoy it. If you listen to this podcast, you'll definitely enjoy it. Favorite moment by far is the entire townhouse scene, which is like 30 minutes long. But, you know, big, long, beautifully shot scene. I love it. Always have loved it. Always will love it. And for the least favorite scene, I'm not sure if I can even pick one. Where on the next two movies, where there's clear moments where I was just like, okay, that's stupid. This, I genuinely can't find a thing that I dislike about the movie, but, you know, even in my favorite Godzilla movie, I tried to find a least favorite moment. So, I don't know. Well, oh, I got one. The original VHS tape came with a Pizza Hut coupon, but they eat Domino's in the movie, and in the next few movies, they eat Domino's. So, misbranding. I don't know. I really can't find anything wrong with this movie. I love it. I love it so much. Just, it's awesome. Go watch it, okay? Impact? I'm not doing character design. You know what the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are, okay? I'm just saying. Impact? This movie was received really well with critics in the 90s, and now the spectrum has flipped. It fortunately has a cult following and is one of the most memorable superhero films of the 90s, in my personal opinion. I love this movie. Give it a try. Yeah. That also kind of covers final thoughts. I love this movie. It's great. Just give it a try. Unlike some of the other movies that I want to cover soon, this is not a big dumb popcorn flick. This is actually like a competent movie with a decent story that I think you will enjoy. Unless you hate the Ninja Turtles, then you will not enjoy this. But, you know. So after this, we're going to have a brief little intermission. Just like before the news, or after the news. And again, be like 2 seconds for you. Be like 5 minutes for me. Whatever. Then, right after that brief intermission, we're going to get to talk about maybe the best remembered Turtles movie, Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze. Which I have not as much to say, but somehow more to say about this movie. After these messages, we'll be right back. Welcome back, dudes. So, right now, we're going to be talking about Turtles 2, which I don't know if this is the most divisive film in the quote-unquote Turtles cinematic universe or what, but this is the one I have the most nostalgia for. That does not make it the better movie. That just simply means it is one that I hold near and dear right in the middle of my chest, where, you know, the thing that pump. I'm trying to make a joke. It's not very good, but anyways. Turtles 2. What can I say about Turtles 2? It has the greatest movie opening of all time. So basically, the opening of this movie is kind of a cold open shot on New York, and we kind of go through the city streets of New York. We look at all the wonderful citizens of New York who all seem to be eating pizza at the same time, with literally more of this wonderful music from the first movie, and it's amazing. We then see this guy named Kino, who I believe was the suit actor for Donatello in the first movie. and he works at a pizza delivery place. And this guy, who is his boss, I believe, is like, "Kino, we got another order for that O'Neill woman." And he's like, "Another one? She just ordered 5 pizzas yesterday. How does somebody go through that much pizza in a day?" And he's like, "I don't know. Just take these to her house. Okay?" And he's like, "Ugh, okay." On the way, Kino not only insults a woman for being too fat for him, I guess, he also runs into some thugs who are robbing a convenience store. What is with the thieves in this movie robbing, like, the lamest stuff ever? You could rob, like, anything you want, but you pick, like, a grandma's porch and a convenience store? Really? So anyways, they're loading these goods from the convenience store into the back of this truck, and, Kino tries to take them on single-handedly, gets going on pretty well, and then all of a sudden, we get this shot of the stairs, we hear some feet rumbling down. What's this? A blurry shot of some green feet. Bro, what? Then, boom, a jump. Title card! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze. After The Secret of the Ooze, which is all in green, kind of, you know, drips off the screen, like Nickelodeon slime, the turtles, are seen in focused, camera vision. They jump out, and, bunch of slapstick shenanigans ensue. One of my favorite parts of this movie, not my favorite moment, but one of my favorite parts of this movie, is where Donnie is playing with the inflatable clown. He finds this inflatable clown in like this toy section of this convenience store, and he like hits it with his finger, and it like bounces back and then bounces forward. And he's like, "Ah, yeah. And he kind of like looks at the, at this camera with this like, "I just discovered something" look in his eye. And he's so happy. And then the next scene we see, this crook, comes up and he's mimicking this inflatable clown. And he's just rocking back and forth. And then, this crook, like, pushes his finger, and Donnie, rocks back, and then he comes back, and he pokes his crook in the eyes, and he starts slapping him and stuff. And then, right after that, another one of my favorite things happens, and, this crook goes behind the desk, the, like, counter of, like, a deli in this convenience store, and, Mikey has this little, like, big tussle with him behind the counter, and then all the thieves rush up to help their buddy. So he sits on the counter and he grabs these sausages that were hanging from above, and he hops down and he goes, "Combat cold cuts!" And he spins them around like nunchucks, and he's just beating people up with these sausages, and it's hilarious. And, yeah, those two lines have always stuck with me for, like, my entire life. They're just hilarious. Anyways, so, some more movie happens. Kino, delivers the pizzas eventually. Some stuff happens here, some stuff happens there. The Shredder is back! What?! We killed him! Yeah, so apparently the Shredder survived the crushing of his skull in the trash compactor. So he has all these even more scars on his face. Basically, his hand like reaches out of the dump, and he finds the new Foot headquarters, which apparently was their fallback plan for if the main base ever, got too run down or something. And so there's this really funny scene where Tatsu is instructing the new foot ninjas, and he's like, "I shall lead the foot to victory now. Does anyone object to my leadership? If you do, step forward now to challenge me." And then all of a sudden, behind him, Shredder just walks in and he goes, "I will challenge you." And Tatsu swings around. He's like, "Oh, Master Shredder, I'm very sorry." And he's like, "You fool, get out of my way." So, they're trying to figure out, how to get revenge on the turtles, basically. So, Shredder tells some of the new foot ninjas, "Go find April O'Neil. I want to know where the turtles are so that I can personally kill them." And that is almost line for line what he says. Not line for line, but that's basically what he says. Anyways, he gets these foot ninjas. They find where April is reporting the next day, and hey, look at that, the turtles are watching her on TV. Another one of my favorite moments in this, or one of my favorite lines in this movie, which is in the trailer a lot. There's this scene where Mikey is watching the TV, and he's crunching on this candy bar, and Raph is very irritated that they're not watching Oprah right now. So, very mad. And so, Mikey's chewing on this loud candy bar, and Raph leans next to him and he goes, "Hey, Mike, you think you could chew any louder? I can still hear out this one." And he, points to where his ear would be. And then Mikey, legit, this guy is a giga chad. He leans over to him and he crunches in his ear. And it's so funny. So anyways, April, at the site that she's on, learns about TGRI, which is basically this company that experiments with genetic chemicals, I guess? They don't really ever explain what TGRI does. But essentially, she's having this interview with one of the main scientists at TGRI, and she's just, getting answers, walking around the place. They're cleaning up some pollution that they did. And one of our, one of the foot guys, who is actually like, one of April's camera operators, finds a giant dandelion and brings it to the Shredder. And Tatsu goes, "This is not what we sent you there to go for! Or, this is not what we sent you there to look for." And Shredder goes, "But it could be even better." And so he kidnaps the scientist. He doesn't kidnap the scientist yet. He's like, "We need more of whatever made this get bigger." Splinter sees April on TV and he realizes TGRI. So then comes one of the greatest line deliveries in cinematic history, where April and the turtles are talking after April gets back from the grocery store, I believe. And she's like, "Hey, guys, where's Splinter?" And they're like, "Oh, he's up on the roof." And she's like, "Well, what's he doing up on the roof?" And they all go, what happens is, she goes, "Well, what's he doing?" And Splinter pokes his head out of the window, and he goes, "Coming to a decision." And it is so funny. There's no way that wasn't intentional, there's just no way. So then after that, He tells the Turtles and April about TGRI and how they were created by that ooze. So they need to go to TGRI because they need to get that ooze and they need to destroy it. So they go there. And dude, the foot is back. They're like, holy crap, the foot is back. That's crazy. Anyways, let's play football with this jar of highly contaminable ooze. So they're, you know, tossing around all over the place. And Tatsu and the foot ninjas end up stealing it. And they kidnap the doctor. This fight is pretty cool. It's one of the more slapsticky fights, which all of the fights are slapsticky in this movie, but this one is very, like, it feels like a cartoon, you know? So we get this really funny scene where Kino comes back to April's apartment just because he has a suspicion about the turtles' existence. So he comes back to her apartment with a quote-unquote free pizza, and he he's just looking for proof of the turtles all over her apartment, because this guy walks into her apartment and is just like scoping out the whole place, and she's just like, I really think you should ought to leave, and he's like, no, I'm fine here, and she's like, no, but really, I gotta go, and I think you should leave. And he's like, okay, just one thing. Steps on Raphael's toe, which is, like, peeking out from this surface that he was hiding from, like, he was hiding behind. And he goes, you got a infestation, or whatever he says. He didn't say that exactly, but he says something along those lines. And Raph runs at him, and all the other three turtles hold him back, and he's like, Oh, please, can I hurt him? Please, can I hurt him? Please? So that's funny. Basically, story is they're looking for a new place now. Because Splinter says they gotta find a new place. They have become a nuisance, you know? No, he says, we do not belong here, basically. April, gets a call at her work, and Donnie is like, yeah, April, we found a new place in the sewers. We'll stop back by later today to show you the place and pick up Splinter and, you know, show you around, you know? And she's like, okay, cool. And Mikey is like, this entire time, berating Donnie to just give him the phone. And he won't give him the phone, and eventually he just gives it to him. And Mikey goes, April, this you? Okay, well, first of all, I would like to say, hello. It is the funniest thing. That was almost my favorite moment. Until almost right after that, we've been having these little scenes that have cut with, you know, Shredder talking to the scientist about sciencey things and, you know, what to make the mutants for and, you know, all that. But basically, the doctor, you know, he puts the mutagen into the cage that they made for these mutants. And in this one scene right here, Shredder is like, it's time for these mutants to meet their master. And this is legit my favorite moment in the whole movie. He gets rid of the gate that is blocking the creatures, the mutants, from, you know, escaping their cage. And he goes, I am your master. Attack me if you dare. And Toka, which is the snapping turtle mutant, goes, Matt. Mama! Oh, Mama! And so Toka and Raz are, which they are a snapping turtle and a fox, respectively, or a wolf, respectively. They're basically like these dumb, like, infantile mutants who don't know, like, anything. And so Shredder, in one of the funniest line deliveries, like, ever, realizes that they have the minds of infants, where he then rushes out to the junkyard that the foot is staying at, and he goes, "Babies! They're babies!" And it is so funny. When I first watched this movie, I could literally only watch this up to this scene, and I would just crack up laughing, and I just could not stop laughing. And when I recently rewatched this movie, it was, God, it is so funny. More cool music happens. Some stuff happens here, some stuff happens there. Shredder takes Toka and Razar to, like, some random city street, and instead of Tatsu's "Go play" from the first movie, Shredder tells his mutant children to "Go play, have fun," and it's amazing. Then we get this awesome line delivery from Toka and Razar, where Toka goes, "Master, say have fun," and then Razar goes, "Fun," and it's amazing. I'm probably butchering it over, you know, the mic, but like, it seriously watch both of these first two movies. They're awesome. Then, instead of a least favorite moment, I have an iciest moment, which is, of course, the ninja rap at the end of the movie. If you haven't seen the end of this movie, basically, they find this way to put a retro mutagen into, a kind of, like, ice cube kind of structure. And basically, the retro mutagen will turn these big old goofy mutants back into animals like they were before. So, Mikey has the bright idea, put them in some donuts, and then Leonardo, at the beginning of the fight, is like, wait, don't fight us. First, we must engage in the ritualistic act of the pre-fight donut. Yeah! So then Toka and Razar are eating these donuts. They find another donut, and Razar realizes, hey, there's retro mutagen in these. There's big tussle. And Toka and Razar throw the turtles into a bar where Vanilla Ice is performing. It's not a bar, it's like a club. Legit, Vanilla Ice is performing there, where he then just all of a sudden improvises a song about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and this is his first time seeing them, mind you. So I'm just gonna read you some of the amazing lyrics, some of the bars that, Vanilla Ice has prepared for us. So most of this song goes like this. It goes, "Go ninja, go ninja, go! Go ninja, go ninja, go! Go, 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 go!" And, then part of it is, here, I'm gonna pull up, I'll read you the entire
first verse, okay? Yo, it's a green machine, gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming, jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody, let's move. Vanilla is here with the new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll this place with the power of the Ninja Turtle bass. Iceman, you know what I'm saying? You know, God, Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show while the turtles are saying, Ninja, Ninja, rap, Ninja, Ninja, rap. Go, 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 Ninja, go, Ninja, go, go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go, go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go, go. Go, go, go. Lyrics. Fill in the gap. Drop that bass and get the ninja rap. Feel it. If you know what I mean, give it up for the heroes in green. Okay, I can't do this. Seriously. It's so funny. It, oh my god, it's amazing. There was a documentary released on VHS after this movie, and Vanilla Ice in the thing was basically like, they told me make it icy, I made it icy. It's the funniest thing ever. I love this song. I have it on my phone. I listen to it quite often because it gives me heavy nostalgia. They have like a dance fight to this song. The professor tells Donatello that some CO2 will kind of ignite the retro mutagen inside Toka and Razar, and it will essentially transform them back into regular animals. So Donatello gets a fire extinguisher, shoots it into their mouth. Bam! They're tiny little cute little babies now. But then the Shredder burst and he's like, I will kill you all! So Mikey grabs a keytar, hooks it up to an amp, lures Shredder over to the amp, and then has the most rockin' jam ever and shoots Shredder out of a wall, where he then, using a last vial of ooze, becomes Super Shredder and tries to kill the turtles, but then ends up dropping a bridge on himself, and it's so, so awesome. Oh my, oh, this movie's, like, high on crack. Favorite and least favorite moments? I have no least favorite moment. This movie is awesome. I love it. It's awesome. Favorite moment was with the first reveal of Toka and Razar. Iciest moment, which I guess will be our replacement for least favorite moment, of course, it's got to be Ninja, Ninja, rap, Ninja, Ninja, rap, go, 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 Ninja, go, Ninja, go, go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go. Yeah, amazing but awful at the same time, and I love it. I love it. Impact. This one was not as well critically received by, you know, critics. It wasn't panned by critics, but it, you know, wasn't received as well as the first movie. People remember it as the silly, goofy sequel to the first movie, which, it's silly, it's really fun, and if you're just looking for a funny popcorn flick to watch with, you know, really, really funny 90s slapstick, turn this on. Total voice crack there. Whoops. This still has a competent story, but it has, the kind of, like, the kind of turtly slapstick that the first movie was lacking. This movie isn't as good as the first movie, but I'm super nostalgic for it, so I can't help but recommend this movie. Check this out. Final thoughts on this movie? Ninja, Ninja, rap! Ninja, Ninja, rap! Go, 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 go! Go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go! Go, Ninja, go, Ninja, go! Go, go, go! Those are my final thoughts, and I think that says it all.
Again, another brief intermission. This will be the last one this time, I promise. 2 seconds. Bada bing, bada boom. I just switch in, maybe get a drink or something, and then come back and, talk about Turtles 3. Fun. Anyways, until the next 2 seconds. Ninja! Ninja! Rap! Ninja! Ninja! Go ninja! Go ninja! Go! Go ninja! Go ninja! Go! 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 Sorry. Didn't know we were recording. So, Turtles 3. This one has caught probably the worst reputation out of all three of these movies online. Most definitely because of the angry video game nerd slicing a VHS copy of this in half and then hammering it. Yeah, if you haven't seen that clip, just know that, that sets an expectation for, this movie. Anyways, let's get this over with. So, Turtles 3 starts with a pretty weird opening sequence. The New Line Cinema's logo pops up and then says Japan 1603, which I joked about. Ah, yeah, New Line Cinemas presents Japan 1603, my favorite of the Turtles films. We just see, like, some random samurai stuff. There's some kind of war conflict going on. We'll talk about that when we get to it. We got enough to talk about with this movie to begin with. And then after that, we just straight up cut to the Ninja Turtles standing. Boom! Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3. Wow! How amazing! Dude, the first movie, they were cast in shadows, and then slowly, as before they walked out of the shadows, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then they popped out of the shadows saying, "Excellent! Righteous! Bossa Nova!" Then in the second movie, they jumped up. Now you already know what the turtles look like, so you don't really need to spend... You don't really need to, you know, keep the design from anyone, but just to make those little children wait just a little bit longer, they linger on the shot for a little bit with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 logo. They drop down. They run forward. Big ol' action scene happens. Amazing. In this movie, it's 4 turtles standing. Title card pops up. And then they dance to ZZ Top. Which, by the way, fire choice of music. This song is great. But, this movie ruined it for me. I don't like this song anymore. That's a joke. Anyways. The first thing you'll notice about this movie, the suits look awful. Now, the suits before had aged pretty well. Like, for the time, the first movie came out in 1990, and, like, the suits look really good even nowadays, which is surprising. The mouth movements don't always flow sync together super well, but overall, it's very good. Turtles 3, they look like these disgusting, like, warded creatures. I hate them. I hate the Turtles 3 designs of the turtles. Not nearly as bad as the coming out of your shell tour turtles, or like the getting down in your town turtles look even worse than this. And oh god almighty, don't even mention the We Wish You a Turtle Christmas suits. Oh god, it hurts. It hurts. I'm getting like flashbacks of that tape. Okay. 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 Turtles 3. Oh, wait, no, Turtles 3 is bad, too. Basically, all these suits and the Splinter Puppet all look terrible in this movie, and that's just something we're gonna have to deal with. So,
I forgot to mention this, but in the first movie, there was this really, this really good actress who played April, and I wish I would have caught her name in the credits, so I could have written this down of all the different Aprils in these movies. But in the second movie, they recast April, which I was like, that's a little weird. You didn't recast anyone but, like, the suit actors, but you recast April? That's kind of weird. And then they recast her again in the third movie, and it's just, it's so bizarre. I was, like, in disbelief. I was like, no, they did not recast the recast. I was like, that's crazy. So, we cut back to feudal Japan, and this guy has a scroll that has, like, a prophecy of the turtles, which is weird. So, basically, this one dude, he's mad at his father for starting this war. His father is the Emperor of Japan, so he's mad, for starting this war and siding with, like, the British. So he steals this, like, family, like, heirloom, and he gets real mad, and he just, like, steals it. So April, when she goes down to the turtle's lair, says that she found this mysterious item at a flea market. It turns out to be the same item that our dude in feudal Japan is holding, and since they are holding it at the exact same time and weigh the exact same weight, they swap time periods. So now we got this feudal Japanese guy in 1990s New York, and we got April O'Neil in feudal Japan, which actually, bad opportunity, or missed opportunity. You could have had her, like, taking notes this whole movie, and, like, tell a really cool story in the news. But whatever, you know, it's fine. What else do we got? Basically, the turtles figure out why that happened. There's some stuff, they call her a witch. Okay. Yeah, that happens. These ninjas, chop April's, Walkman in half, which reminded me of the Angry Video Game Nerd chopping the copy of this movie in half, so I thought that was pretty funny. They think she's a witch. They accuse her of all this stuff. Casey comes here, and he is important for some reason. So basically, the turtles somehow, in some galaxy brain idea, they find out the exact time that somebody would be holding the amulet or the staff or whatever. And so they teleport to feudal Japan times to go rescue April. Basically, Casey gets totally sidelined in this movie so that he can babysit all these Japanese guys, which is so stupid. They're adults, dude. Like, just keep him down in the sewers for a little bit. And, God, okay, anyways. Oh, yeah, they say the cringiest line of dialogue I think I've ever heard. So, they're riding horses, right? When they teleported to Japan, the people who they teleported with were riding horses. So they all fall off the horses, and Mikey falls off his later. He gets kidnapped. Anyways, so they're split up. It's Donnie, Raphael, and Leonardo, and Mikey by himself. And so Donnie falls off his horse and goes, "Ugh, I think I swallowed a frog. Hope it wasn't an ancestor." which I'm not even going to acknowledge why that's stupid. They meet up with April later, and she, like, pulls her skirt up a little bit so that she can, like, I don't know, like exfoliate or something. And Donnie, they made Donnie like a freaking perv in this movie. He just goes, whoa, Allegorama. And she's like, hey, I'm allowed. I'm on vacation. And he goes, swing. What? Dude, what? That is, like, so creepy. Why would you say that?
Oh, God. Okay.
Then there's this scene. There's this little kid named Yoshi, who got, like, stuck in a burning building. And so Mikey, you know, he was captured by these people. And this little kid is part of the village that captured him. So he runs in there, he saves the kid, and Leo does CPR on the kid, and they become, like, regular members of this town, and, you know, it's funny and goofy and silly. And Raph ends up, like, having kind of a bond with Yoshi, and it's kind of cool. It's kind of stupid. Basically, the whole reason this is happening is, the Emperor of Japan, started a war against this rebellion who didn't like the way he was ruling Japan. And so then the emperor got this British dude named Walker and a ton of his, like, smelly soldier dudes to kill the, like, rebellion with guns. So Walker is the main villain. Yeah, you ever heard of Walker before? Didn't think so. He's a stupid Ninja Turtles villain. He's a stupid villain anyways. He has this stupid thing where, like, he has, like, pet birds, two little finches, and he's always carrying around this cage in the last 30 minutes of the movie so that they can tell you this is an important plot detail. Most of the dialogue in this movie is insufferable, and I don't think it deserves even me talking about it. Just Legorama says it all right there. God, okay. So, Yoshi found the scepter in the woods with his friends. Basically, the whole village knows that they have to go back eventually, you know? And so Yoshi gives the scepter to Raph, and they end up having to give it to Casey's ancestor. There's a big subplot about that, about how, like, April rescued Casey's ancestor or something. And basically, my mic fell over. Whoops. Casey's ancestor gives the stupid scepter to Walker, and Walker, like, is throwing it around, and it's all stupid. He had a ton of the Emperor's guards find the turtles in the castle, and all four of the turtles are standing there in, like, a line. And Donnie says the worst line of dialogue in any movie ever, but I have to bring it up because it's so bad. He says, were you expecting maybe the Addams Family? First of all, no, they weren't. This is 1603. They don't know who the Addams Family are. Second of all, no one mentioned any, like, no one spoke to you. Why are you flapping your very obviously fake jowls about this stupid Addams Family joke that doesn't even make sense? Shut up, Donnie. Okay? Usually, I like Donatello. He's not my favorite turtle, but like especially in Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I really like him. But in this movie, I hate him. I just hate him. Oh god. Anyways, so the way that they take out the way that they take out Walker, aka the British guy, Casey's ancestor fires a flaming cannonball at him after he goes back for his little finches with the scepter in his hand. He throws the scepter and he tries to escape. Casey's ancestor shoots him, which he then falls off of the wall of the castle. And when he's about to fall into the water, the PNG that they had of him that they used for the falling animation, they just, the next frame, it doesn't, like, splash into the water. Instead, it just fades out of existence and you hear a splash sound. It is so funny. It is, a lot of this was when, you know, a lot of this the Angry Video Game Nerd went over in his episode about this movie. But I can't help but bring it up because this has made this movie infamous online. Yeah. This movie's bad. This movie's real bad. So I have a favorite and a least favorite moment for this one, actually. So, favorite moment was the cute little relationship that Raph and Yoshi had near the end of the film. I wish this would have been more of the movie, because it's kind of nice getting to see the turtles interact with people, you know? I like it. And the April actress in this movie was not very good at acting, so it's good to see at least, like, a competent child actor, you know, act off of these giant turtle animatronics that don't look convincing, even in the slightest. And then, least favorite moment is the infamous Legorama swing! Only just because, I don't know what else, honestly. Maybe, were you expecting maybe, the Addams Family could be one of the worst lines? But just Legorama, even saying it, I want to, like, throw up. I just can't with this movie. Impact? This movie is fondly remembered as the AVGN's least favorite movie, apparently. But probably not his least favorite movie. Just a disgrace to all Ninja Turtle fans everywhere, including myself. This movie is not good. Don't watch this movie. Unlike the second one that was fun and dumb and had a enjoyable story, this one does not. This one is bad all the way through, and I do not suggest it. I've been recording for almost 3 hours now, so, yeah, I'm just gonna give my final thoughts and, wrap this up real quick. This movie is not good. Not even in the slightest. Don't watch it. Don't do this to yourself. Oh, please. And, you know, have an icy day. And, be good people. Bye.